Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Crennan, fresh back from visiting the Mouse for his 50th anniversary, Sheila Hyland down at Disney. It's episode 4 already, and we're emanating from 23rd and Vine on East Carson Street. I want to thank Bob, Lou, and Ray. We'll talk more about those guys. But first, Jim, how many times have you been to Disney World?
12. I'm a veteran of Disney. I love Disney World. I'm kind of weird. Because I love children, but I don't have kids, never had kids. And I would always go to this travel agent, and he said, me and this other lady are like, we're tied to going to Disney, and I beat her at the tie with 12. Because I love going to Disney's great for vacation because they have some of the greatest hotels in the world there. The Grand Floridian we would go to, and it was the coolest hotel, spa kind of vibe. So it's wonderful for children, but it's also great for adults.
You know what? The big secret is it's really not a place for kids.
It's turning, isn't it? It's a little both. Yeah,
you got to have a lot of money, too, but you do get the quality. Sheila, yeah, how was your excursion?
It was fabulous, and it was mostly adults. And actually, the little kids looked the most unhappy. I mean, they were cranky, crying. You know, seriously, don't take your kids to Disney until they're about
30.
15. Well, maybe 30.
You ever, the most interesting part observation is walking down the main street of the Magic Kingdom, and you see the parents who have toddlers, and God bless you, you have little kids, you deserve like badges. It's amazing. They're wonderful blessings, but wow, it's really hard. And they're all leaning over like the strollers with a drink in their hand. Thank God they introduced alcohol.
That's because it's 105 degrees down there usually.
With alcohol. Like you got to drink, I guess, if you're going through that. The parking and all that's crazy.
Well, in episode 4, I want people to know Jim Crenn, No Restrictions was the genesis of me even being a part of this. So I want to thank you. And a part of Jim Crenn, No Restrictions is an old friend of mine, too, and a colleague, Paul Alexander. Paul, I've known you.
Do I have to like
Paul's
Disney
co-host.
To be here?
No.
Yes.
You cannot like
Disney.
Oh,
yes. You have to love the Mouse.
Love the Mouse.
Come on, Paul.
There's some things I've said about the Mouse that I can't.
Really?
I mean, this is family oriented.
Well,
show.
It's well,
you know, sort of.
No restrictions.
Well,
it's
not
no
filter.
Restrictions. Oh, filter.
Ours is no restrictions.
Okay.
Yes.
I've just had a lot of mixed.
Really?
Yeah.
Rough time there?
You know, you go. I covered a lot of Penn State bowl games.
True.
Oh, so
good point.
That stuff was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
is there a comparison here?
No, it's just a matter of the fast pass and the kids and get them on the rides and $5 for a bottle of water every 5 minutes. It's it's a lot.
You know what's great is
lot.
If you can. Now you have 3 children,
I
right?
Do.
It's best if you just take one at a time, just the two of you. That way,
what's
there's
best
no.
Is to go. You
there's
know what?
No
let's go to
plan,
Universal.
Schedule.
Right.
You let's
can do
go
that
to Universal.
Too.
It's
you know,
the best.
Disney has it figured out, though. The Disney cruise, they have it figured out because they have half the ship where you just put the kids in like a daycare kind of thing.
You're right.
And the other half, the adults are just partying. They figured it all out.
They're that good. Works. They're good that
right?
way.
But you can do that at Disney too with the hotels. I've done it in the
past.
They
got the same thing.
Yeah, you take the kids to the daycare center. They have a blast. And you go off and
there is one
downtown
ride
Disney
in the Magic Kingdom that will absolutely turn the most sane person insane.
Which
and
one?
That's that little boat ride. It's a Small World.
The music.
It's that song.
It's in my head.
Sing it a thousand times.
And then they have those little animatronic dolls. And they all look the same, but they have different hats and outfits. And then here's the problem.
It's a nightmare.
I was so excited, you know, doing one of our radio broadcasts there. Went to the hotel room, pulled back the sheets, and it said, "It's a Small World after all."
Oh, wow. You were hurt.
Yeah.
You were offended.
You took the song personally.
How about this? This is my one memory in Disney that is going to live with me forever. And my girls were young, probably 6 and 4. Hmm. And my ex-wife was very nervous about rides.
Okay.
We get on Splash Mountain. You've been on Splash Mountain?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You do that first little, like, whoop. Yeah.
Where they take the picture.
She hands me the 4-year-old and gets off the ride. Gets off. And you hear
smart
all this,
woman.
Hey, get back I'm on done. The ride, get back on the ride.
She's out.
Off the ride.
How'd she get off the
I
ride?
I have no idea. That's still the mystery.
Yeah.
So for the rest of the day, walking Disney around Disney, people going, yeah, I came here to go to Splash Mountain. It shut down. Some crazy lady got off the ride.
Oh, ooh. That was you.
So that's a shutdown move.
Shut it down.
That's a complete shutdown move.
She goes on the Tower of Terror, and that's okay. That one scared me.
There's a rumor. I don't know if this is true. Do you know you've been to Disney many times?
Shut it down.
Right?
No, not many. Three.
Three times. Okay. Yeah. We've all been to Disney.
I've been there 24 times.
I'm double digits.
You doubled me.
You are the king of Disney.
You're the
king of the mouse.
What's going on?
It's a long story. I used to work in West Palm Beach, and they used to give the DJs like free day and discounts.
It really is a small world.
You should get like honorary mouse ears or something for that. That's 24 Disney trips.
Did you ever hook up with Minnie?
Amazing, man. That's tremendous stuff.
That is unfiltered.
Did you ever have dinner in the Magic Castle? I've never gotten in there.
Oh. You've never been in the Magic Castle?
I've been there, but never dinner. They have the restaurant in there.
Oh, I never ate.
Did you do the breakfast with the characters?
Yes, I did.
Oh, did
it's
you kinda, see
I'm Cinderella, still having nightmares.
Snow
yes.
White,
still having nightmares of Goofy coming at me with waffles. Oh. It's not easy. No, it is nice. It's really nice.
Now, when they do the parade, isn't it like 3 o'clock every day?
Yeah,
something like that.
When I saw the look on my kids' faces when that happened, I'm like, okay, it's okay.
It's all been worth it.
It's like,
and then
just
they went back
for
crying.
Okay. But there's two places that work at Disney, Epcot and the Water Place.
Right.
Why? What's the thing that they have at those two places?
Food?
Alcohol.
Yeah, you have alcohol.
Game
changer.
Yeah.
I'm okay now.
I once drank in every country in Epcot. You know, every country.
Oh, absolutely.
Go around the world.
Switzerland.
It's a blast.
I'm just everywhere.
At the same time? Because you know there's like 25 of them.
I took on the entire world. I took on the entire world one day.
You don't think about drunk people leaving one of the Disney parks.
It's not nice.
Apparently you were one of them.
It's not pretty. It's not pretty.
All right. Well, we invited Paul Alexander because he's working with Jim No Restrictions, his podcast, the original. But Paul, you're kind of a guy that's done everything, but your heart is really in sports too. You have a passion for that. But what I like about how you do sports is you don't couch things. You tell it like you think it is. And that separates you from a lot of people because you can report on sports, but there's a difference between
there's a lot of fanboys out there.
What you're able to do.
A lot of fanboys. Like, for example, the other night, the John Gruden story breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Sidney Crosby was supposed to be the guest at halftime.
He got bumped.
And the beat writers to cover the Penguins were upset. They didn't get it. The biggest story that's going to hit the National Football League this year hits. You get bumped.
650,000 emails, and we're just scratching the surface. And a head coach, highly touted,
right,
well-known on ESPN mm-hmm. for many years, John Gruden, resigns. I thought it was one of those fake memes when I first saw it reported on Twitter. I said, John Gruden didn't resign from the Raiders. He is the Raiders.
It was more of a I quit, you're fired, I
right.
quit, you're fired.
Well,
but yeah, he's,
we
he's
see
done.
That now.
He's
happened
done.
Quickly,
forever.
Though.
He's done.
No, he wrote, if those, and we assume he's taken ownership of some of the emails, just one or two of them would be enough to get anybody fired permanently.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this is awful.
Yeah.
And the climate in which we live right now, which I think now, I mean, that stuff cannot and should not be tolerated. So I'm not apologizing or making any excuses for Gruden. But now I think that when people get that pound of flesh, who else can we get? Like, don't you get that sense? I get that feeling now. Who is there? Someone else we can get?
Adam Schefter of ESPN, their top guy, had some emails with the former executive of the Washington football team, where he was feeding him his own stories for him to tweak it, which would be considered in the journalistic world, Sheila.
That's immoral, right? There's no character there, right?
So how much credibility hit did Adam Schefter take?
He should be done, in my opinion. Absolutely done.
Yeah.
You know, he is Mr. Exclusive. He is Mr. Breaking News in the NFL.
Well, now we know how
Why?
We got some of that
Because
stuff.
You know what? You write it the way you want it, and I'll put it out there for you. What a that's junk. That's journalistically fatal. That's a fail. I mean, he failed completely as a journalist.
So the people understand, though, Jim, this was actually an investigation of a toxic environment of the ownership, Daniel Snyder, of Washington's team. And in the process, going back 10 years, they discover this stuff with Gruden, who wasn't the head coach.
He was working for ESPN.
He was an analyst.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So let's get to the bottom. You said that I'd like to cut to the chase, and I'm very objective. Why was he targeted? You know, there's 650,000 emails?
There's others.
You don't think there's others?
Oh, there are
others. But why is he the one that is out and gone? Does anyone know?
I think he's
came
a name.
After
he's
Goodell.
He's a name. He's
he was killing the commissioner of the NFL.
He's also head coach.
He's done.
He's also head coach in the NFL.
He's after Roger Goodell.
He's a face of, you know, he's one of the faces of the NFL. He was. Anyway, Gruden was
a name. Well, you raise a good point, Paul.
He came after Roger Goodell.
You can't do that.
That was the
death sentence. Well, it was more than that, though, more than the Goodell stuff. He was misogynistic.
They chose which ones to show and reveal.
But saying the one thing was about lying, that's what he calls that. Come on, I don't know. I think he was doing something horrible and he got caught.
Here's my question. So if an email is uncovered that was written 15 years ago and the person has ostensibly changed.
Right.
Do we give them the benefit of the doubt?
Not
or do we continue
culture.
To
well,
ask them?
I don't know.
Not in this culture.
Culture.
Not
culture.
But as human beings,
it's a
do
gotcha.
We do that?
We live in a gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Today, we find out the Rolling Stones are eliminating
Brown Sugar
Done. From their concert tour song list.
Right.
Because it has some implications of slavery, which I never thought of Brown Sugar as being that. But they cut it. They cut the song.
It's retired.
Well,
they've retired.
Just, well, stand-up has changed. You know, it used to be you could in a comedy club, you could say anything you wanted. Really, that was the last place an artist can just say anything. And now that has changed. You have to really watch everything you say.
Dave Chappelle is under fire.
I just watched
right
Chappelle's
too.
Show. If you watch the entire show, he's just an artist saying what he's saying. You know,
which
really,
what he's
it's
always
not,
done.
I get it. Right. People are going to be offended, but Chappelle was actually given some thought to, you know, if you watch the entire show, they're taking snippets out and
what
criticizing.
What about Don Rickles now?
Oh, my God.
He could have never made it.
It would be interesting. I don't know. It would be interesting. He was so... Some of these people, like Lisa Lampanelli and people like that now, are like the modern Rickles. They have a style of doing something that it just isn't offensive. And some people can get away with it.
Have you
in
seen,
a weird way, they can get away with it because they're not offensive.
Jim, those roasts they do, they're so scathing and filthy.
Oh. Yeah.
Who's the woman, the blonde comedian...
Amy Schumer?
No.
I know who you mean. Yeah,
she's attractive, but she is foul-mouthed. She is the most foul-mouthed.
Chelsea Handler? That one?
No, it's not Chelsea.
I know who it is because I'm on her Instagram. I can picture her now.
do you remember the Sally Wiggin roast? Can you imagine if that would become public?
Rough. They used to have a place, and Paul knows of this, called the Thompson Club. Where it was absolutely
women? Women were asked, "Hey, the show's about to start. You need to leave." Even the waitresses were asked to leave
because it was so foul.
I still have my little poster. I was the man of the year 1 year or whatever that was. And boy, Bill Chirpek, I love him. Chirp, I love you. He was so rank at that, they actually asked him not to come back.
Wow.
I mean, when there were absolutely no rules.
That's impressive.
He was so foul.
If you're banned from the Thompson Run Club.
Wow. But back to John Gruden in football. So there are those that say, well, if John Gruden's resigning, fired for that, what about all the players that have and been in the league who have done physically egregious things to women?
Vehicular homicide.
How do you feel about that, Sheila?
Oh, boy. That's a hot potato.
Mm.
This is unfiltered, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I have an issue with that. The fact that he
was able they got to, passes. You mean some of these people?
Yeah, some of these people so got many. Passes. Absolutely. Because why do some get a pass and some don't? It just is. You know, the higher the celebrity, the higher the status,
the better the
we'll,
player.
We'll give you the pass. I have a problem with that. And it should be the same all the way across
problem.
The board. But wait a minute. But here's the thing, too. Again, do we allow someone to come back 15 years later and change their lives and say, I'm not that way anymore? What do we do with that? I mean, are we forgiving as human beings?
I think we are.
Or do we shoot them down and say,
the country's
you're done?
Collectively
it's
for people
done,
we are in a way.
Selectively
we're selectively. And here's the point about
right.
that.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to take away from what offended means, but no one's ever really, I think, died of being offended or, you know, been crippled by being offended. Mm-hmm. They have forgiven violence against women. Violence, physical violence. This is just saying something that might offend. I have a problem with that. I mean, back in the day, our good friend, and I'm spacing on his name, Dennis Miller,
yeah.
He said that the reason that we do this is, you know, the sticks and stones will break my bones, mm-hmm. names will never hurt me. The reason we go after the name callers, because it's easy. If we actually dealt with the real problems that were out there, our minds would be blown. So we take care of the little stuff.
What do you think is going to be the end result? Because they got to sift through, you know, 650,000 emails. Are there others that are going to be called out?
It depends who went after Goodell.
There's a certain
standard. They'll choose who they want to get.
But there's a certain standard. These people have to be held to.
Okay, I got to ask you guys, going back through your emails of 20 years, right. Would anybody uncover something that you would be ashamed of?
I was always.
I know this is a loaded question.
Not really.
I was always
nothing
cautious.
Be ashamed.
Larry looks uncomfortable over here.
Work you know. Emails I knew were seen by everybody. I mean, if you think that you're writing an email at work on a work email site and you don't think every manager, every mm-hmm. boss can see it, you're naive. They can't. Yeah. So I was always very careful.
Yeah, this is something we have to teach our kids,
yes.
too.
Yeah, I don't believe
mine
it.
Mine don't get it.
I can't think of anything I said that was mean and hateful.
I'm an equal
like
opportunity
that.
Offender. I hate people and I hope they hate me. So that's an easy way to go through life.
I'm still trying to look for the name of the blonde comedian
who's going
to
kill you.
He's going to call me at 3 in the morning.
Got it?
Whitney
got it.
Cummings.
Whitney. Oh, Whitney. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oh, well,
wow. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Have you ever heard her?
No, actually,
yes.
She rivals Lampanelli for just being off the cuff.
That's funny. Actually, RSS feeder FeedSpot voted our No Restrictions number 17 stand-up podcast, and Whitney's number
sitting,
one.
We're always sitting.
Wow. You guys are big.
We're big.
Gosh.
We're podcasting.
Big,
so
big, Sheila.
Thank you, Sheila.
Just,
we're big.
I'm verklempt almost.
But
well,
Whitney's number
company.
One. We just have to get a little bit raunchier, is what I'm saying, Paul.
Okay.
We're going to get
well,
the number one.
No restrictions.
We're
go
17.
Right
we
can
dial
Larry,
that up.
We got to really, we can
I
ramp
mean,
it up.
I'd rather.
This is new. This is a new podcast.
Not
this will
be number one if that's what it takes to be number
no.
one.
No.
Well, hey, we're
going to
knock off.
Although I was
unfiltered.
Joe Rogan, the number one podcaster in America, made 100,000.
180 million or something. Whatever
he just made some ridiculous amount of money. He was at PPG Paints Arena a couple Saturdays ago. Mm-hmm. And I find this curious.
Was he doing the gingerbread thing?
I don't know. It was 11,000 people there. And here's the irony. This free speech, say anything you want, do this. When you went there, you had to put your phone in a pouch that is locked magnetically, and you keep your phone with you, but it's in a pouch you can't access till you leave, and you go over a scanner where it unlocks it.
Wow.
Where do you get those
Amy
pouches?
Amy Schumer did that, too. I went to her concert
you get
a couple
those
years
pouches?
Ago. Same thing. They
the
take
house.
Your cell phone.
I want
Paul
to,
wants
when,
the pouch.
When I'm with my kids... I want to put their phones in the pouch.
It's on Airmo magazine.
So this is a subject we could talk about.
Pretty sure.
But I'm just saying, a guy that's talking free speech and all this, he's making everyone put their phones in a pouch.
I think it's because there's such a tough environment. If you just say anything, like we were just saying earlier, you know, he wants to really open up maybe. You just say one little thing left of center, maybe he's worried about it being twisted or taken a different way. You could take a snippet of somebody's what somebody's saying.
You know, someone say has they probably this, a camera watch the whole on their thing. Lapel or something. You kidding me? Like, you can't
yeah, that's
pouch
true.
That. You pouch that.
Yeah, you I can't mean, break the Rogan
so many
show.
Surveillance things.
You could break the Rogan show.
See, now I'm challenged to go like get some. You know,
thank you,
I'm going to sneak some video.
Thanks for giving me some sense,
Paul. Thanks for coming today. We'd love to have you back. As you can see, this is just like what we would do anyway. Sit around and BS. So,
aren't tangents the best?
Yeah,
they're like good.
We've been doing radio a long time, mm-hmm. media a long time. When you go off in a direction that you had no plan to go on,
sure, it's, the
it's
best.
Always the best.
Yeah, I think and we were going to talk about right. Steelers, the actually, best. Weren't we?
Right. Well, we'll come back and talk about that. Paul Alexander, our guest, Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. And it is that time of the year. People love to be scared in Pittsburgh. We're going to talk about haunted houses, housewives of haunted houses, something like that.
Something
you like that,
that
Paul?
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
All right, Paul. Will you come back?
Settle down now, Paul.
No, just think. The reason Halloween is the best holiday. Women just want to dress so provocatively.
Hey, not everyone.
That's a good point.
They do.
The nurses
not everyone,
outfit. Paul.
It's a fun holiday.
Have you ever been? You've been like a
but
cop.
No, trust what, me. What my, daughter, my daughter, every year, her exactly. Halloween costume, I'm like, are you kidding me? Really?
My son's a freshman at Penn State, and I go, wait for Halloween, my young man.
Probably can't
the sexy nurse outfit.
That's always been my favorite.
Free Odyssey
that's the
download.
Halloween.
Download the
You've
free
been
Odyssey
a sexy nurse?
No.
Larry has been a sexy nurse.
Episode 4 from 23rd and Vine, East Carson Street. Thank you, Paul.
My pleasure.
We appreciate you listening to Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, and we have very special guests here. 23rd and Vine, we want to thank Bob, Lou, and Ray again for letting us hang out at their wine bar on East Carson Street near the Birmingham Bridge. If you haven't been, please check them out. And we have the Haunted Housewives with us, known only as Kathleen and Jen. So you don't want to be identified, right?
No, we're okay yeah. with that.
Are you guys in hiding, huh?
Yes, mostly from our children, because when this airs, the humiliation that they will feel, that this
see.
Is what their mothers
oh,
are now.
I got you.
Will be crushing.
Your children
crushing.
Have no idea,
I think they're
believe
like
me,
it.
About humiliation when it comes to having a parent do stuff on the air. But, you know, my wife watches a number of the Housewives shows. You know, there's Housewife everything now.
I watch all the show Housewives.
Do you? Orange County.
I do.
Hollywood.
We're the Housewives of Cemetery Lane and 1313 Mockingbird
cool.
Lane. We're
in writing.
You know, haunted housewives.
So what was the genesis for starting Haunted Housewives?
Well, it goes back to our kids because our daughters were in the same musical theater program together, and they were friends. And one Halloween, they wanted to go to a haunted house, but they didn't trust the walkthroughs they saw on YouTube.
Okay.
So they asked if we would go and take a sneak peek at some of the haunted houses.
They knew we did them when we were younger, and we enjoyed them. We had fun at our haunted houses when we were young. So I was worried that everyone was going to be younger than us, and we were going to be the oldest people there. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. There was a lot of different ages that go to haunted houses. I was surprised.
But we started visiting haunted houses to give our kids a preview. Mm-hmm. And what would happen then is they would be sitting in the car behind us on the way home while we talked about, oh, did you see that animatronic? And wasn't that set amazing? And that was the greatest jump scare. And our daughters would sit there with that teenage girl look on their faces. And you could hear the eye rolls behind us. And it turned out that... we enjoyed
you
doing
liked
this
it.
Even more than they did.
You were good at it.
Yeah.
You were described. You were excited. What's your favorite haunted house in Pittsburgh?
Oh, that's a tough question.
Okay, one.
There's so many.
The go-to.
Places we go every year.
Yeah, every year. Uh-oh. We go to Scare House. We go to the basement when it's open. That's a
the
whole.
Basement.
In your
where
home?
Is,
yeah, the Scare House basement.
Larry's house.
Yeah.
It's pretty scary down there, but for other reasons.
So that's an extreme haunt that they haven't done for the past couple years, but they said they're going to open it next year.
Okay.
It's a they touch you. It's more psychological horror. They kind of mess with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think it is that people are
Sheila
so...
had a look on her face.
They touch you.
She was just look at her like, oh my God.
I don't want them touching me.
You're so horrible. Like, oh my God.
Well, you can opt out and go to a different
yeah.
one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The non-touchless.
I'm going to go to the basement.
I want the touchless tower of terror.
There's over 100 haunted houses in Pennsylvania, yeah. 120
really?
In Ohio.
Yes.
There's so many places.
So many.
So if you want to go someplace that isn't so scary, we have recommendations.
Are any of them ever, are any of these places actually haunted?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Or, yeah. At least according to the owners, they are. There's
where?
Demon House down in Monongahela, mm-hmm. which
it's
has
a good name
this,
for a haunted house, by
yeah.
the way.
And
Demon House, Monongahela.
Yeah. If I was at a haunted house, I want to be Demon House.
You didn't see any of them demons in that. It's this tiny little old house down
really?
In Monongahela, and... Mm-hmm. The okay. owners claim that there's
the demon?
Stuff there. Mm-hmm. They found gravestones on their property when they were renovating it.
Really?
So,
yeah. That's something. You
know, it's really
But cool. why do you think everybody, and a lot of people, just enjoy the hell out of being scared?
Mm-hmm.
Why is
love
that?
It, don't we?
Yeah. Why is that?
Yeah, Halloween
is
a stress relief.
Huge.
It's a stress relief.
Calm. Yes.
I would think it would
we
be
We feel
a
so calm.
During it's going to be on a certain age anyway.
During it, maybe. Sometimes we stop and go, oh my gosh, we're having a heart attack right now.
And this is how we die. This is where we die, and we're going yes. to become props for the
yes.
owners.
We'll be the actual ghosts in the haunt.
Have you guys ever been afraid of a real ghost at some point going through this? Why, this is a real ghost. I have to get out of here.
I don't think real ghosts, just actors.
Just actors doing it?
Yeah. Yeah.
The actors touch you, the ghosts don't, so.
that you know of.
That's true.
Do you really believe in ghosts? Kathleen, Jen, haunted housewives.
It's an open question for me.
You're not sure?
Yeah.
No.
I haven't had too many experiences. My daughter has. We went to the West Virginia Penitentiary, and they have a really cool, they have a haunted house, and they have a walk that you go on, and you like look for real ghosts.
Apparitions.
What's the criteria? What makes for a really good haunted house? Besides maybe it's the obvious.
Part of it is design. Mm-hmm. Part of it is when you walk into a room and you can't immediately figure out how to get out. Or you have to pass way too close to something you don't want to get close to. Part of that is what makes a good haunted house. Misdirection, mm-hmm. having scares coming from different places. When you see some huge prop over in the left corner and there's an actor yeah. at your right shoulder.
Yeah.
That
element of surprise that you didn't know that was gonna be there.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you say, you know, there's an actor right there. I was expecting you to say, and there's an axe murderer right there. There's a ghost
are.
Right there. No, there's an actor.
Well, you know, there's an overlap in those categories. You know? Axe murderer.
Do you believe in ghosts, Larry?
I haven't seen any.
You believe it?
You know, like Doubting Thomas, I got to see it to believe it, mm-hmm. but I'm afraid now that I've said it.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it. I've done shows of some haunted houses in my life. And my grandmother always said, just don't tell God you don't want to see it. We're very religious. My grandmother mm-hmm. don't want to see it. And I haven't seen it. But there was a book I read, and I interviewed the author, and the Demon on Bronzeville Road. Bob Cramer had a house yes. that's haunted by a demon. And I'm reading a book, and I saw a documentary on a show called A Haunting. It's mm-hmm. on one of the cable channels. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Father Mike was the priest who did the exorcism. Now I go to a retreat at St. Paul's here on the south side, up on 18th Street at St. Paul's, and you know who is a retired priest who lives there a lot is Father Mike.
Wow.
So I'm there one time and there's a lunch and Father Mike happens to be sitting at my table. And he's open about it. And he said, Father Mike, we talk, and he's retired. He was an exorcist.
Wow.
And great line though. He retired. I said, why'd you retire? And he said, quote, Jimmy, it's a young man's game.
Ooh. Hey.
Being an exorcist.
Yeah, you need
by
energy.
By the way, I've been in that house.
No, you need energy for do that.
Yeah,
But he said that he told me, wow. you know, things were flying off the wall. I mean, this guy, I know this guy. He does not lie. He does not say anything to impress. He's wow. the most honest human being I've ever met.
So I believe there has to be something there. He wouldn't have. He's seen stuff. Did you say you've been there?
Yes, I actually interviewed Bob Cranmer. Okay. I actually had him at my book club, too, talking about the book years ago when it first came out.
Okay.
And then he asked me to do an interview that he was going to put on YouTube about the demon on Brownsville Road. Uh-huh. First of all, the book just scared me to no end.
You can't put it down.
It really did. So he showed me around the house. He showed me the little light switch that had, you know.
Explain that.
I can't explain what happened to the light switch. And if you haven't read the book, you have to read the book. But, yeah. Anyway, so we sit down to do the interview. Everything is all set up. It's working properly. And then my mic goes out. They couldn't get my mic to work. And
were you in the house?
I was in the house doing the interview with him in the house. Yeah.
You're very great.
And, oh, my God. And he said, oh, this happens all the time.
I would not go in the house.
He says the demon is gone, but it still happens all the time in the house. And now it's a bed and breakfast.
Wait.
So I want to ask you, would you go there and stay the night at
Father Mike
Brownsville
told me.
House?
Oh, I'd stay the night.
Yeah. Would you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh,
you know what? You should go and stay the night and come back and tell us how it was. If you survive, if you make it out alive.
I'm not doing it. It's a young man's game.
I'm still getting over Father Mike saying that. It's a young man's game.
Exorcism. Yeah, it's a young man's game.
So he's not the exorcist.
I've never met an exorcist.
He's an
exorcist.
Yeah, it's a real thing, man. His exorcism's real. He said demons are rare, he told me. You know, it's not like a common thing.
Right.
It's very, very
Most
rare.
Of them are like Casper
Most
the
are
Ghost.
Most are ghost spirits crossing over, whatever, from what he said. But, you know, this thing with Bob's house isn't the most common thing. Took about a year to get rid of it, as you know. And I'm fascinated. You were in that. What was the house like? Did you feel anything when you went in? Did you feel weird?
Well, it only felt weird in that I had read the book. And so when I went into the blue bedroom and I looked at the walls where the blood had supposed to come down.
Did you see the light string?
I saw the light string. Yes, that had wound itself around the light bulb. Cool. Yeah, I saw it all. I saw it all, and I felt fine. I haven't had bad luck since I left the house.
Yeah, it's not that.
It's all been good.
Taken care of.
But I don't know that I would go stay at the bed and breakfast. I understand it's a wonderful experience.
I'll bet.
So if you're into that kind of thing,
let us know. Report back.
Absolutely.
So as the haunted housewives, how did you get yourselves out there so you became like this viral thing?
We just started. You've seen the Bugs Bunny cartoons and the Roadrunner cartoons where Wile E. Coyote goes tearing across a canyon and looks down and falls.
Right.
And the Roadrunner just keeps going.
Yeah.
We got to this place by not looking down. We decided that we were going to start writing about our experiences and put them out there. And I think if we had had the good sense to stop and think about what we were doing, we wouldn't have done it.
And by the way, you are excellent writers. I've checked out the blog, The Haunted Housewives, and it's just the writing in itself is just incredible and puts you right in the spot.
Who are you women?
That was our goal.
What's your background, Kathleen?
I taught writing at Pitt for several
years. That would explain it.
You're a writer.
Well, that would explain part of it. And Jen, how about you?
I talk a lot.
What do you do in real life?
We have a podcast you can tell you about.
I actually just work in the radiology department at Mercy Hospital.
Okay.
I'm not a tech.
How often do you go out to a haunted house? Every week?
We have been going to we have been out this year. We've been doing about 5 every weekend.
Oh, really?
So we were, we're on a roll. We're trying to get to as many as we can.
But here's what I want to know. Okay, so you've been to so many, but at what point do you think I'm no longer scared? Or are you always scared?
It gets worse.
It's gotten worse.
Yes.
Why?
It gets more scared.
So much worse.
Really?
Because we know what can happen now.
Yeah. Like what can happen?
Last time we saw a chainsaw, you know.
I got to tell you, I'm an adult man, and I'm not real cool with those haunted houses. It freaks you out.
I'm not sure about having Chucky with a chainsaw from the rocks running around going, I'm going to scare you.
Do not let him touch you.
There's only a few like that.
No, I think when we started, we would walk through and we would appreciate the set dressing and how beautiful it was and the effort. And now we see somebody with a chainsaw and...
I go back the way I came.
We went on a haunted trail this fall where she was surrounded by chainsaws. She turned around and ran through two other groups behind us.
I like the haunted trail idea. That's
like
pretty
she
cool.
was going so, back yeah, towards I love the entrance.
The woods at night just add so much to it.
Where's that one, the haunted trail, to walk through there's it? That'd be so cool to go to.
There's several.
Really?
There's about an hour outside of Pittsburgh, there's Scary Harry's Haunted Trail.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The haunted trail that we were just talking about is out in Ohio, out by Cincinnati. It's Land of Illusions, Middletown yeah. Haunted Trail.
Okay.
Fairfield in St. Clairsville, Ohio, mm-hmm. is another haunted trail. Yeah, there's a ton of them.
Do you guys know about the Zombies of the Corn?
We have not been to Zombies of the Corn.
Zombies of the Corn is right up north of Cranberry. Check this out. So they have a haunted house.
Is this a new
house.
Business venture you're starting?
No, I have no vested interest in Zombies of the Corn. I went there, and they have a hayride. And on the hayride, they have paintball machine guns.
Wow.
And you get to wait, it's really
advanced,
amazing.
I'm liking this.
Now, think
okay.
about this.
Okay.
So you get a seat. You're in your own seat. You have a gun, a machine gun
that's
mounted on the side of this. And they're like 20 people, 10 on each side. And they take you out into the cornfield. And you are attacked by living
zombies.
Yeah. And you get to show them with
paintball. Chucky from The Rock.
See, now that sounds therapeutic.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Do they climb on the wagon, too?
In what way is that therapeutic?
No.
I didn't know this.
They don't get that far.
All right. Paintballs and zombies. That's very relaxing.
Think about all of the stuff that's happened this past year. Aren't there times when you just wanted to go outside and
shoot a zombie?
Scream. Shoot a zombie.
A paintball yes. zombie. Yes,
release your aggression.
I can't believe it, actually.
When you go to a haunted house, you're not only allowed to do this stuff, mm-hmm. you're encouraged. You're nice. Supposed to mm-hmm. scream.
Yeah.
You're supposed to feel fear yeah. and express it. And, yeah. I mean,
and you know somewhere in your mind, you know it's not real. You're not really in danger.
Right.
But, you know, it's still fun to play.
But you know, Chuck, and the Ross could slip and kill you.
Yeah.
Sorry. Call medic. Well, some blood down here.
Hit the Zombies of the Corn and went in. And believe me, I didn't want to go in that haunted house.
Yeah.
And when that character fired up that chainsaw, mm-hmm. you hear that.
I know.
You're right.
Please don't tell my boss I cut you. I'm fired. Please don't tell him.
I only meant to touch you.
Did
you
ever, this job. I just want to touch you later.
Sheila, you probably wouldn't because you were in a
Sheila Hyland was right. I should never touch
esteemed
nobody.
Esteemed journalist. She won't touch people in a haunted house. But, Jimmy, have you ever been invited to scare people?
Wait, you need to know.
I had participated in a haunted house thing as a publicity thing, a PR thing.
Well, you know.
You jump out at some, yeah.
When I worked at the country station, when I went away, and I worked with Frankie Nicotero,
yeah.
the comedian, stand-up. Jimmy mm-hmm. knows him very well.
Yeah.
His dad, Sam, was into all this stuff.
Sure.
He invited me to be one of the jump scare people
yeah.
at a haunted house. And
nice.
I'll tell you
pretty
what,
cool.
that is fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You get to scare people.
Yes. I
mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you either of you, Kathleen, Jen, done that?
Mm-mm.
When I was a teenager, I worked at a couple haunted houses. I was Screaming Girl.
Oh.
Help me.
Oh, help. He's going
don't
to
let
me.
Them. Yeah.
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 So is there one haunted house that you would recommend above all others? Or even just give us your top two?
Oh, yeah.
It's just so hard to say because they're so different. And we do enjoy going to different kinds. Like there's Castle Blood, which is a puzzle in each room. And it's more like spooky than scary. They have a few jump scares,
very
but it's mostly
very interactive.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one in Ambridge?
It's in Monessen.
Yeah.
Monessen. I'm sorry.
Which
Monessen,
my phone says Monessen.
I was
it says you're Monessen
with the ghost hunters, and there was actually
yes.
there was actually a ghost spoke.
And Anthony,
I'm not kidding. They had an EVP thing, which is like they somehow on a tape, Larry, they can have it, and the ghost said something.
What did the ghost say?
I can't remember. It said something weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Did Anthony Wayne? It made a noise,
yeah. And I said something. And then later on, we played it back, and I swear to God, I heard it whispering, "You're not funny." I swear to God.
Now that's scary.
Yeah, right?
The ghost is going in. That's brutal. Talk about a
nightmare. A heckling ghost.
bastards. Not ghosts.
Oh. Ghosts are hard on. They're tough audiences. But yeah,
would you
said that.
Jim, share this. This is one of our famous Yinzer cards. Thematic.
Yes, we have our Halloween card now available at Giant Eagle and Hallmark. Boo Nat. Huh?
Get out.
We'll make Chip Chop Ham out of Yinzer inside. Happy Yinzer Halloween. So we have our Yinzer cards out, and our Halloween card is featured. Frightfully
I love
funny.
It. It's under the moniker of Frightfully Funny.
Yes. Check it out.
In your story.
And Rob Rogers, our political cartoonist partner,
artist.
Get out.
Does really tremendous
that's
artwork.
Wonderful. He brings it to life.
Yeah.
And you should check out our Yinzer store, too.
Yes.
Jim Crenn Yinzer Life.
Clothing line. We got candy.
Come on, man.
We are going to have a haunted house next year. We're going to have a zombie room next year. Zombie. Larry and I are working on it. What's on Larry?
A Yinzer haunted house. You just gave us a great idea.
Yes, that's our next year.
Yes.
That's one of our next projects.
We're there.
We support
that wholeheartedly. Yes.
Yes. Yes, we
I'm a scary woman. I'll jump out. I will know that, be part of it.
Jim Crenn, Yinzer Life. Give us a couple of your lines.
For instance.
Illustrated by Chris Eithen of Eithen USA.
We were talking about t-shirts for Pittsburgh, inside stuff. So I just came with basic ones like It's Pop, Not Soda. I still call it Star Lake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a McKees Rocks 9. things like that. Yeah, so there's like 60 or 70 of them. Yeah. We've introduced about 20 on lines to go to our store, the Yinzer,
YinzerStore.com.
Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of our cards. We put parts of panels and you know parts of the humor on t-shirts and hats and onesies.
Okay.
And also this other store has more one-liner kind of things like I just stated. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Just started about 2 weeks ago. So a lot of fun doing.
We appreciate you both taking time to hang out with us a little bit.
Thanks for having
fun.
Us.
Thank you.
Kathleen and Jen, Haunted Housewives of Pittsburgh. So where can we find, if people are interested, to read more about what you do?
You can find us on Facebook, Haunted Housewives with Tish and Lily. You can also go to our blog, which is hauntedhousewiveswordpress.com. We have an Instagram, and we're on TikTok.
to our
children's mortification. We're on TikTok, and they're begging us, you know, please don't dance, please don't.
Or they just tell us to do things and like, ha ha, yeah, you're doing it right, uh-huh.
Well, we appreciate it again. Good luck, Haunted Housewives.
Thank you. And get out there and enjoy Halloween.
Yes.
There's
so many
great haunted houses around here. Pittsburgh celebrates Halloween like no one else.
Read all about it on their blog.
Yes.
Episode 4, Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Crenn, Sheila Hyland, and the Haunted Housewives. From 23rd and Vine on East Carson Street. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Crenn, Sheila Hyland from 23rd and Vine, East Carson Street. Want to thank Bob Bozzelli, Louis Caputo, Ray Stefsik, who own 23rd and Vine, a great wine bar. And if you haven't been, come down to Southside. Right, Jim?
It's the greatest, coolest bar. We have a nice backyard. So the weather's still warm. Come out. They have the nice twinkling lights. It's like you're an Italian little courtyard.
Little
so it's
village.
Really cool. Little village. And serious, try it, 23rd and Vine. You'll enjoy it. They have Smokey Robinson wine, a lot of great selections, and it's a cool vibe, man.
One of my favorite places, and I once spilled wine over the balcony to where we're sitting.
The
right
person
now.
Is still in therapy, probably, right?
Yes, and I don't know that the red wine ever came out of
We're
going to start performing here where we're doing this podcast, working on some stand-up stuff.
Ooh, this should be
for 23rd and Vine. It's a great room for it.
This
we're already
be a
talking
great
about
intimate.
The possibility of New Year's Eve, so we'll let people know when we start to get that together. Be a lot of fun.
So thanks to those guys. And we also, on episode 4, talked to the Haunted Housewives of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. But our engineer is Jim Patulski, who's a great guy, and apparently, unbeknownst to us, knows a lot about zombies. Jim, I'm a little surprised you're a zombie aficionado.
Well, we used to be involved in Zombie Fest, which we held every year here in Pittsburgh. And of course, I mean, the whole zombie culture really started here in Pittsburgh. George Romero, and it was 68 or 69 with Night of the Living Dead. Dawn of the Dead was filmed at Monroeville Mall. And Day of the Dead was filmed here. And Tom Savini is from here. Greg Nicotero,
yeah, right.
The great special effects artist is from here in Pittsburgh. And he's behind the Walking Dead television series.
Greg Nicotero, yes, is the cousin of Frank Nicotero, the mm-hmm. stand-up comedian. And I knew his dad, Sam, and then Greg's dad was a kidney specialist. He's a physician,
and
a doctor.
It's a production house in Los Angeles as well.
You've been there?
When I go to L.A., I'll hang out and see Greg when I can, or when he's in town and he's not filming. They film in Atlanta area, outside of Atlanta. But it's really interesting because you're walking through and there's just hundreds of people just painting that look like dead zombies or whatever. And the interesting thing is, if you want to go on to Walking Dead to be a zombie, which is like I would like to do it before it goes off the air. I know they're closing pretty soon, I think, the seasons. But you have to go to zombie school. You don't just jump in there, Larry. You got to go to zombie school to get on the show to be a zombie. It's like, yeah, it's like a day or two. It's not like 3 years or something of zombie
school.
It's
not a four-year
commitment. Not like clown school.
No, it's not like an undergrad,
but you know what?
Graduate thing. But
I have to find for you then.
Zombie.
My brother Pat had to film zombie auditions in Washington County in a barn when they did the retelling of Night of the Living Dead.
Okay.
And Tom Savini directed that one. My sister worked on the project. My brother Dave and was a camera assistant. And my brother Pat has this audition tape of local people trying to act like zombies. It is one of the most hysterical videos.
When are we going to see this?
I want to know what the criteria is to be a zombie. What do you have to do to get a role as a zombie?
Well, certain moves. You got to move your hand like this. No, I'm just making it. I don't know.
I'm not sure what that means.
There's probably like ways you have to move and walk, like, you know. I threw my left shoulder up like this. I don't know what that means.
The Walking Dead.
I usually walk like this for a couple of drinks.
That's usually what we look like.
A zombie.
Is that what you look like coming out of Disney World?
Actually, looks like I'm hungover.
Been through all the countries.
I look like a zombie combination ghost.
But The Walking Dead is a direct result. And Jim, you pointed out that lineage of Greg Nicotero, Tom Savini, back to George Romero.
Amazing Pittsburgh connection.
It is. And that show is so popular. My wife's ringtone is the theme from The Walking Dead.
19 million people a week watch it. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yes, you can't get 19 million people to do anything at one time anymore, like the old days. So on Sunday nights, my wife ushers me, you know, she knows. Because here's what happens. I got to get up at 3. So she's
you're a zombie at 3, right?
Yeah. I'm a real zombie.
You know what to do.
The alarm goes off. At 3, that's a nightmare in and of itself. And Jim knows this world.
Oh, yeah.
So walking through, she's watching this show, Sheila, and here's all I hear. How many episodes? How many years has that been on the air, Jim?
A lot.
Walking Dead.
Rick, do you know? I don't know how many.
10 years.
Ten years.
Rick Dolnack, our actor, who is here to assist Jim and us. Yeah. Have you ever been a zombie, Jim? No.
You didn't go to zombie
school? In real life or otherwise?
In real life, many times.
Many times in real life.
I was actually offered a part in the original Dawn of the Dead, and I turned it down.
He turned down. He could have been the lead zombie of Dawn of the Dead. Did you know that, Jim?
You should have come out to the Zombie Fest. But I know we held the world record for most people dressed as zombies.
How many?
It was, I can't remember the exact count, it was 5,000 and change.
Where is this?
And I actually filmed it. It was at Market Square. I stood on top of a semi truck with my camera and filmed the whole thing, which you can see the footage online on my YouTube channel.
What's your YouTube channel? People want to see that.
It's just Jim Patulski.
Is it no longer zombie? Did they stop?
No, it was actually started by a guy by the name of Mark Menold, who had a local TV show called the It's Alive Show, which was very similar to the old Chiller Theater. You know, really bad B horror movies,
right?
And campy horror. He kind of filmed it himself. I don't think Mark's not doing it anymore. But I remember when A&E actually contacted us when they first did season one of Walking Dead. It was just 6 episodes to tap into our mailing lists and the way that we got to people. And I mean, they actually researched us and what we were doing here in Pittsburgh, because it all originated from here.
So they stole your zombies?
No, they stole Greg Nicotero, but you know, and Greg used to be I think he was a student of Tom Savini's at one time.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. And now his career is just
it's amazing when you watch his lab, because he has done all of like Quentin Tarantino movies. So there's pictures of all this Pulp Fiction stuff he's done, and he did the famous Gus Fring story from Breaking Bad. That was him that did the explosion scene with him. And there's photos of it. You're like, you're just amazing.
What
the work
talent
he's done in pop culture, as far as like, you know,
that's such an
amazing talent
thing. And one Pittsburgh is the zombie capital of the world, Sheila.
Apparently the ghost capital too. Sounds like there's a lot of ghosts.
We're getting
around
there. I am still shocked you were in that haunted house. Well, I can't believe you went in there. You're very brave. I never went in after reading that book.
It was the light of day. I wouldn't have done it in the dark. No,
you're a journalist.
But
you went
I'm
for
thinking
it.
We should do a podcast from there.
Oh, don't do wouldn't that. To me.
But you know what? Something would happen with the equipment. We'd
That's
have
too scary.
We'd have technical problems.
I'm too afraid.
How about this? Sheila Hyland does a remote.
Yes, you call in.
I'm here at the haunted house, on Brownsville Road, and pulling the light switch.
That book just scared me.
It really scared me too. I was like, can't be real. But
my wife loves those horror movies, and it's hard to watch.
You don't
them.
Like them?
No, I can't. I'd rather watch something else.
I'm good.
Watch it when I'm alone. No
really?
Way.
I can watch anything but the possession stuff because I grew up Catholic. And I remember watching The Exorcist when I was a kid. I was probably too young to see it, like 15 or 16, whatever. But I remember going home to my grandmother's house, and my grandma's from Poland, you know. I go, "Hey, Grandma," and I thought, "There's no such thing as, like, you know, demons that can possess you, can they?" And he goes, "Oh yeah, sonny, there's a little girl in the village." What? It can happen.
You just know, some movies don't stand the test of time. The Exorcist has stood the test of time.
Scariest movie
still
ever.
Watch, yeah, you can still watch it. And, you know,
well,
Linda
you know
Blair's
what?
Head turns around 360.
I for some reason, I still, to this day, thanks to The Exorcist, I can't eat pea soup.
No, you get right there. That's a good point. Pea soup isn't scary. Also,
maybe it's because you just don't like it.
I'm not kidding. I actually met Linda Blair.
No.
Yeah, she came to the television station,
pretty cool.
KDK TV.
Did she float?
And it was around. She was really nice, but it's one of those things in life where she's always going to be that girl from The Exorcist, no matter what she's ever
she
done.
She never
since.
Could top
like,
that role. Never
like Marcia
role.
Brady.
Right. Yeah, and I met Marcia Brady.
Yeah. You're pretty much that.
And they always said she was a real you-know-what because she had an attitude. She thought she was like the best Brady.
The Meryl Streep of Bradys.
She was Marcia.
I mean, it's Marcia.
Yeah. She was kind of the king.
And then one of the oddest things I ever did in TV with TV people was the Harp and Fiddle in the Strip District has every year a crazy St. Patrick's Day party, right?
Right.
They asked me, TV said, "We need you to go down. They have a special guest that they're going to introduce." I'm like, "Who is it?" It was the Beaver.
No, wait.
Jerry Mathers.
You met Jerry Mathers, the Beaver.
Oh, not only met
Why
Jerry
are you
Mathers.
Name dropping like this now on me? I am so jealous. You met the Beaver?
Beaver.
You never told me this in all these years?
No,
you've held it, kept this from me?
It's like a flashback.
Can I do my Beaver impression? I never get to do it.
Go ahead.
Gee, well, you can be real creepy, you know? Thank you. That's it.
It's really good.
That's perfect.
Not many people.
Eddie Haskell,
you don't get calls.
Do Eddie?
I could do a little bit of Wally. Heck yeah, Beaver. A little bit of Wally, but Beaver's the main one, though. Gee, well, you could buy you some of your Arabian Nights.
That's pretty good.
And the facial expressions, if only you could see them.
So we go to the strip district.
I'm in awe of you that you met him.
You like the Beef.
I wouldn't be able to speak. It would be like meeting De Niro for me.
And isn't he like 92 now?
Yeah, he's still around. I see his picture. It's like,
I want to meet the Beaver.
So that night, I get up in front of this crowd. This is for the 6 o'clock news then.
I was the
weather guy. And they always send a weather guy to do this goofy things back.
Why was the Beaver? St. Patrick's and Beaver? What's the connection?
I guess he's Irish. Mathers, Jerry Mathers.
A little stretch.
Mathers,
but I'll go
Irish.
With it. Okay,
I don't
sure.
know.
Anywhere to get him. Get the Beaver.
Rick, Jim.
The Beaver was available.
So I do this big buildup, and I didn't say his name yet, so I saved it. I said, "Ladies and gentlemen," and the place was packed. I said, "The Beaver," and he walks out. Jerry Mathers.
They go crazy.
It could have been Mick Jagger. They
it's
went
bigger than Mick Jagger's. The Beaver.
It went absolutely insane for the Beef.
I don't want to name drop on you back. I really don't.
Is this a name drop?
I know the PR person for the Beaver, my friend Marianne. So there,
Marianne Miller.
No, my other friend Marianne. And I'm telling you, Marianne can get. I think we can get the Beaver on the show. Is what I'm trying to say.
Oh yeah,
because I wanted to meet the Beaver so badly. She knows, but I mean, it'll be on the phone. The Beaver, you just don't just meet the Beaver. You don't just walk in on this. You don't walk in the Beaver. You got to go through channels, people.
I've heard that.
You don't just meet them. I mean, Larry, that's what I'm saying. Larry just met the Beaver. Larry walked in and was hanging with the Beaver.
That's like going up to Punxsutawney and meeting Phil.
Which was real cool, too.
And, you know, I had a great idea for the Pirates, for Phil, and they just didn't bite. You know, the batter's eye out beyond center field where they have the shrubs that spell out Pirates.
Okay.
Why not? As a promotion, you get the Pennsylvania Lottery because they have the second most famous groundhog, right?
Right.
Gus.
Exactly.
That's it.
Gus.
You know his name.
Yeah, everyone knows Gus.
Here's what you do. You get the Pennsylvania Lottery to sponsor this, and you put up a replica of the Gobbler's Knob stump where they pull Phil out every February 2nd. Every time a Pirate hits a home run, Phil comes out of the stump, and he can hold a scratch off.
Oh, my God. That's a brilliant idea. I love that idea.
And it might happen once a year.
I was waiting for that joke. And I got to tell you right now, I said we break open a bottle of smoky wine and we flush this idea out, buddy.
Think about it.
We get this down.
It's a good one.
It's a genius idea. Every once in a while, once a month, Larry comes up with a brilliant one. This one you were sitting on, and now you bring it out. Well, you were going
to
give it away?
I was going to give
that
Pirates
away. That's gold.
No, yeah.
That's like giving gold away.
I'm going to try to
negotiate that deal.
I got at least get a couple lottery tickets.
Wouldn't that be every time a Pirate would hit a home run? They'd show it around the country.
I'm in.
Yes, they would.
Larry, you don't have to sell me on it anymore.
And then maybe they could fill the seats at the stadium.
Well, here's the one bonus we're going to add.
Okay.
More?
Phil comes out, or Gus.
You really thought this
wearing a Jim Crenn Yinzer Life t-shirt.
Yes.
Now
really thought this through, Larry.
Right? And the t-shirt's different. Every game is a different t-shirt.
Every game is a different saying. Okay. I like it. There. Every once in a while. You come up with ideas. Such an idea guy.
All right, before we close out episode 4, any takeaways from your Disney trip celebrating 50 years of Disney World?
I've decided that I'm going to wait for the 75th celebration to go back. Yeah. After three times, and I really loved it. I love Disney, but it's just too much.
It was overloaded.
I went to three parks in one day, though. So I did the park hopper. It was just too much.
Larry's the most humble guy because, one, he met Beaver. Doesn't tell me, and I've known him all these years. Two, he's been to Disney 24 times. I thought I had something going on 12 times. He doubled it, which is pretty impressive. So that's kind of cool. But Disney, you put that song in my head, it's going to be in it all day.
It's a small world.
I can't stop it. It's in my head.
It's a small world.
Everyone's going to be mad.
It's
singing this.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't go away.
It's a torturous little song, isn't it?
Oh, it's horrible. Wretched.
And do they still have that right?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do. Oh. They refurbished it and nothing changed.
I took my little Nissan. Yeah. Oh. It's a rough one.
Anyway, Episode 4, Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Crenn and Sheila Hyland. Don't forget Jim Crenn, No Restrictions, now with Paul Alexander.
Yeah, Paul.
That's impressive.
Great guy.
And we want to thank, again, the guys here at 23rd and Vine, East Carson Street, near the Birmingham Bridge on the south side. Check them out. Thanks to the man who turned down a starring role in a zombie film, Dawn of the Dead, Rick Dolnack. You may see him somewhere else. And Jim Petulski, our engineer. Jim, we can't thank you enough for all you do and have done. And
thank you, Jim.
I didn't realize Jim was such a zombie follower either. So,
yeah, this is stuff.
You can check it out, the free Odyssey app. It's really easy. Once you download it, you can click, get right to the podcast, or go to kdkradio.com.
Incidentally, real quickly, it's not Odyssey, it's Odyssey, because people were like, I couldn't find it under O-D-Y-S-S-E-Y.
Our company spelled it A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that clear.
That's good. No, that's a good point.
People were like, I couldn't find it anywhere.
We said the same thing when they did it, and now that we see it, you just kind of forget about it. Other people might not be able to find it.
Good point.
So. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Larry. Now I know why I haven't found it for 3 weeks. Now I can get it out. See, I'm getting a lot of answers today.
Gee, Wally.
Yeah. Thanks, Larry.
All right. That's a wrap, episode 4. We appreciate you lending your ear.
Football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.